Elsewhere in the country, three major hurricanes intensified by climate change left communities reeling this year. It's been especially difficult for undocumented people to rebuild because many don't qualify for federal disaster aid. Nate Perez with NPR's Climate Desk introduces us to one family.
Carmen's phone rang on a late September morning. It was her brother-in-law. He warned her about downed trees, power lines, and homes destroyed by historic rain and winds from Hurricane Helene.
I believe that if we never received that call, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe the current would have taken us.
The flooding brought on by Helene destroyed Carmen's two-bedroom home in North Carolina and everything inside. Hurricane Helene dumped more than 40 trillion gallons of rain across the southeast U.S. North Carolina saw devastating floods and landslides. More than 100 people died.
We had to look for shelter because the weather was so bad. We were going to look, but the roads were already blocked by fallen trees. We couldn't get through anymore, so we sat in a parking lot.
Carmen is undocumented. NPR agreed not to use her last name because she's afraid of being separated from her American-born children. Mixed-status families like Carmen's and the millions like her are some of the most vulnerable people during hurricanes and extreme weather events. Because even when mandatory evacuations are in place, many choose to remain. They worry that if they seek help through government or disaster aid groups, they could be deported. It's a stark reality as human-caused climate change increases the intensity of hurricanes.
Before disaster happens, many of these undocumented communities, farm worker communities, have existing disparities, inequalities, including health disparities.
That's Michael Mendez. He teaches environmental policy and planning at the University of California, Irvine. He says extreme weather amplified by climate change can affect jobs and housing for undocumented communities.
Federal, state, and local governments left these communities behind or rendered them invisible in disaster policies.
That's because FEMA requires a household member to be a U.S. citizen, a person born in a U.S. territory, or a green card holder or refugee to apply for cash aid. But even when undocumented people are permitted to access disaster aid, obtaining that help can be difficult without identification. Carmen applied for FEMA's Serious Needs Assistance on behalf of her children. She asked for help with housing, beds, and clothes, but she says FEMA's process is long and confusing.
They told me they couldn't verify my documents, that something was missing, but I told them I already brought them everything.
Carmen has had to go to a FEMA Disaster Recovery Center four times to follow up. Still, she has yet to receive an update from the agency. FEMA spokesperson Jacqueline Rothenberg says people can appeal decisions they don't agree with. Sometimes the agency can deny an application, she says, because of a technical error, like an incorrect name or social security number.
There's many reasons why you could get a denial, but we want to make sure that we get people to a yes.
That hasn't happened for Carmen yet. But a local Latino media company, Que Pasa Apalacha, helped Carmen rebuild her life.
They sent furniture, children's beds. I told them the only things I need now are a stove and a refrigerator.
In the absence of federal assistance, nonprofits, churches, and communities play life-saving roles for families like Carmen's. In Florida, the Rural Women's Health Project, for example, helped undocumented people who were impacted by Hurricanes Debbie and Helene. Veronica Robledo is the executive director of the project. She says many undocumented people lost their jobs.
We just know that because of these compacting issues of unemployment, loss of power, all these barriers, we know that just basic needs are not being met.
Robledo says hurricane season in Florida is pretty much half the year now. That's why she's already preparing for next year's hurricane season.
We actually are currently looking to hire a case manager just because we need more help.
As for Carmen, she and her family are still in interim housing. She told NPR she used to pay $600 for rent before Helene, but now all she sees are rentals between $1,600 and $2,000. Carmen says that's not something her family can afford. I'm Nate Perez, NPR News.